Well, good morning. I'm so pumped you guys are all out here today. Again, I want to remind you that we are in a summer series where I have an agenda. However, I'm not going to lie to you, this is not really the message that I wanted to preach this morning. Because some of you are like, well, what were you going to preach? I was going to actually preach about rapture and revelation today. And some of you are like, good move, Pastor Josh. Good move. Because you're like, that ride home today will be really special. So I thought I'm going to switch it up. I don't know if I'm going to bring it back next Sunday or if it's going to be a few Sundays from now. But I do want to tell you that today is a little different. However, it still goes with the theme of what I'm trying to achieve. And again, I'm not telling you what I'm achieving until the very end of the summer. But so just bear with us. So the past few Sundays, I've been talking about obedience. And one of the things that I said was is that obedience is your responsibility. Outcome is his responsibility. The following week, we had a guest minister, but the week after that, we talked about purpose, and that purpose has a hidden treasure. And that purpose is not something that we sell, but purpose is a problem that we solve. And if that's the case, then the treasure that's found in purpose is actually problems, and how we need to view problems in a different way, that we need to take responsibility of those problems so that we can achieve the greatness that God has laid out before us. The next thing that we talked about last Sunday, we talked about success, that your success in Christ is not measured by numbers, but by engagement. That interaction that you have, that relationship we have with Jesus, that it's not about numbers. It's not about how many times you've attended church. It's also not about how many sins you've committed. It's all about our engagement with Christ Jesus. That's what it's about. Today, here we go. This is not a time to sit around and do nothing. That's what today is all about. It's not a time for us to sit around and do nothing. In Psalm 88:13, it says, "But I cry to you for help, Lord, in the morning my prayer comes before you." Boy, that's a beautiful remembrance of how special it is to wake up in the morning and say, you know what? Instead of complaining, instead of worrying, instead of sitting there and thinking, I'm just going to do nothing, or I'm going to continue my day as usual, David reminds us that we need to come before the Lord in our prayer time and lay it all out before him. Why does David tell us this? Because there's actually good reason to do it. Because we know that God does what he says he'll do. So if you have that position and understanding, you recognize, you know what, God's for me. God wants to see that all of these things that are laid out before me, that he's going to guide me through it all. He's going to take care of me. He's going to provide for it. And we actually get tons of illustration all throughout the Bible of how he's going to do it, why he does it, and when he's going to do it. Some of you are like, liar, when he's going to do it? See, some of you get hung up on that. We're going to talk about that in just a second. But I really want us all to have this moment of understanding of how good God is and that he's for us. God's not putting snares and temptations and all of these worldly ideas before you. God's not doing that. God's trying to deliver you from that. Do you hear me? This is important. If you don't have that posture and that understanding, then it's going to be very hard for you to read through the Bible, and it's going to be extremely difficult for you to be a follower of Jesus Christ if you think that he's always out to get you. All right? God is for you. All right? All right. So this comes to this beautiful story right here. In Genesis chapter 28, go ahead and turn your Bibles there. And if you did download our app, you can follow along there in the app. Some of the scriptures, or actually all the scriptures should be there, and you can follow along. So in Genesis chapter 28, verses 10 through 22, you see this beautiful story of Jacob receiving a dream. Now, prior to that, this story is not very beautiful. Jacob is one of these, an odd individual. He is someone who is out to get his brother at all costs, and he wants that blessing. Now, at the grand picture, you'll notice that even Esau is pictured in the New Testament as someone who gave up his birthright, meaning he didn't fight, that he didn't actually commit himself to the Lord, where Jacob was willing to fight for it. That's the difference. So if we pay attention to the grit, right? The grit, meaning that gumption of like, I want it. You know, if Esau's not going to fight for it, I'm going to want it. He's going to sell the birthright for a bowl of soup? Well, I'm going to take it. So Jacob took advantage of the situation of his brother's lack of heart, his lack of trust, his lack of obedience. Jacob took advantage of it. Well, what happens is Jacob gets blessed. His father and his mother immediately go, hey, you need to go back to this particular land because this is where your mother's from. We want you to find your wife there. These are good people. This is what's going to happen, all right? And by the way, your brother wants to kill you, so hurry up. That's what it was all about, all right? So off goes Jacob. And as he's out and pursuing that land, he decides to sleep. Now, we see this in verse 12. It says he had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth with its top reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. It's a beautiful, beautiful picture that he envisioned, that he had this dream of this stairway, of a ladder. Sometimes you heard the term Jacob's ladder. So the stairway between heaven and this earth, and the angels are ascending and descending back and forth onto this earth. Now, this is important. Now, keep reading verse 13. It says, there above it stood the Lord. There above it stood the Lord. And he said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. So your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. What's happening here is he is beginning to hear the promise retold to him that his grandfather Abraham had heard. So he is holding now onto this promise that's been given to him. And it's a beautiful, beautiful promise. So it says in verse 15, I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. When Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it. He was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. And early the next morning, Jacob took the stone he had placed under his head and set it up as a pillar and poured oil on top of it. He called the place Bethel. Though the city used to be called Luz. Then Jacob made a vow saying, if God will be with me and will watch over me on this journey I am taking, and I will give me food to eat and clothes to wear so that I return safely to my father's household, then the Lord will be my God. And this stone that I have set up as a pillar will be God's house. And of all that you give me, I will give you a tenth. All right. So what do we get from this story? All sorts of things. First thing, real quickly, Bethel. Anytime you hear Beth, that always means house. So anytime you hear of a different town, Bethlehem, that's like the house of bread. All of those different types of Beths is a house. Well, this is the house of God, Bethel. So he establishes this particular location as the house of God. I do not have enough time this morning, and especially the attention span in the room, to be able to go through that teaching today. But it is a great teaching to go through all the Beths, okay? But Bethel, the house of God. Now, the next thing that's very curious that you're all wanting to know is let's talk about angels right now. Now, Pastor Adam, one of our pastors here at the church, along with Pastor Dave and the rest of them, they usually get a copy of my message before I preach it. And as they get the message, they skim through it. They put it on the text feed, on our app. They put it in the ProPresenter system behind me. They do all those different things with it. But Pastor Adam wanted to make sure all of you, if angels appeared here on the stage with me, he would give us the universal signal that angels are in the outfield. For some of you that was a 90s child, you got it. For some of you that aren't, I'm so sad about your childhood. I'm so, so sad. Angels in the Outfield was a wonderful movie where angels would appear and help the Los Angeles Angels win victories in the baseball field. Somewhat sacrilegious. Anyway. So some of you are wondering, what is the purpose of angels? Well, let me tell you, angels are actively involved in the lives of God's people. It's an unknowing understanding of the full capacity of angels, but what the Bible gives us is some great understanding of the involvement that they have with us. Now, one of those things is angels protect God's people. We see this. We also know that angels comfort and minister to believers. We know that angels deliver messages. Angels wage spiritual battles. Angels worship God. Angels serve God. And angels also deliver judgment. But we'll talk about that next week in Revelation and all of those good things. So you see where the message is getting switched just a little bit this morning. But in John chapter 1, verse 51, this is actually the key part about today. In John chapter 1, verse 51, you'll see the correlation between the Old Testament and the New Testament. So always keep in mind, the Old Testament is pointing to the New Testament, and the New Testament is confirming the Old Testament. So you see in John chapter 1, verse 51, Jesus says, and then he added, "Very truly, I tell you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." That stairway that Jacob had been given, that revelation, that dream of, that stairway was through the wonderful mercies, grace, righteousness of Jesus Christ. That gives the ability for us to be connected to heaven. So many of you, back in the day, you're at church, you're playing with the hymnals, and you hear the pastor say, "Hey, there's two places, heaven and H-E double hockey stick," all right? In that moment, you just wised up and you listen, you go, "Hold on, what's he talking about?" Some of you then, after you heard those two words, you just space cadeted out on the cloud nine and you stopped listening. What you didn't hear was, and I hope your pastor that you grew up with went on and to say that Jesus didn't die on the cross just for us to get into heaven, but he died on the cross to get God out of heaven and into us so that we could have a relationship through the power of the Holy Spirit. And through that power of the Holy Spirit, we'll be able to have a true relationship with God again as intended in the Garden of Eden to this day right now. So Jesus makes that possible. And it's a wonderful picture and a position to live in because you realize, hold on, time out. What we don't see is a true stairway to heaven, all right, where God is doing something. That's why, again, I reiterate to all of you in this room, this is not the time to sit around and do nothing. God is moving. The heavens are open, and he's looking for faithful people. He's doing something. He wants you to say, "Here I am, send me. Here I am, use me." At such a time as this, I want to be used. That's what it's all about. So in Acts chapter 2, verse 17, it says, "In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams." God is speaking to us. God is prophesying. He's giving us visions. He's giving us dreams. He's giving us understanding that far exceeds our understanding. And when we have the knowing and the revelation that there is an open gate to heaven and God is doing something, then we become a little bit more wise in the sense of, I can't sit around any longer and do nothing. I need to get up and I need to be a part of what God's doing. All right? So he's calling us out. Now, with dreams and dreams and visions and all these different wonderful pictures, we see Habakkuk 2:2. This is a nice reminder for all of us. "Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it." Why is this important? Because I believe wholeheartedly the failure to plan, okay, the failure to plan, really, it just causes you to sit back. It actually requires you to sit back because when you fail to plan, then you better not move at all right? But sadly, without these plans, without the vision, without the mission, then what's happening is that you're saying, "God, I'm waiting for you," when God's actually saying, no, "I'm waiting for you. I'm waiting for you." We're sitting back and we're saying, "Eh," and you're choosing all the excuses. You have all of the different excuses and you're just spewing them out. "God, yeah, this, God, no, I'm waiting," and God's saying, "No. I have written out my word," right? "I've written out my word, and it is ready. And when you read this living word, you will discover those plans, those purposes. When you meditate on this word, when you pray, when you seek counsel with him, you know God's going to talk. Why? Because we've already established there is a heavenly opened stairway that's leading to God. And the Holy Spirit is speaking to you on behalf of God. The Holy Spirit, it tells us in his word that the Holy Spirit is there to speak to you what God has for you. So it's important that you spend that time and you say, God, what do you have for me? God, what do you want to tell me? And when you get that download and you begin to walk in that, you're going to realize, oh gosh, this is that purpose. This is the real true purpose, the real true understanding that it's not by my might, it's his might. It's not by my understanding, it's his understanding. It's important that we have faith-stretching prayers. Why? Because I got to tell you right now, if you don't have faith-stretching prayers, then there's no challenge for people to rely on God's power. We need to have faith-stretching prayers that when we're dreaming and we're seeing those visions that God's given us, they're going to be faith-stretching prayers, and you're going to be sitting there waiting for God. I'm ready, because you told me what I need to do. I've got that established. I've got my plan established. Lord, now I want to know, Lord, the magnitude of your wonderful, beautiful power in these moments. God, I want to see it. Establish that within my heart. Lord, I desire your power being glorified. Man, when you start walking in that purpose, it changes everything. So it's important, as we read in Habakkuk 2:2, write the vision. Have a plan. Get it out. What is that vision that God has for you? What is those moments where the whole family's involved, bringing the whole family together? Guys, this is what we do as a family. Husband, wife, you talking about the vision that God's laid out for your marriage. Now, there are two different types of dreams, two different types of visions. Okay, so I'm grouping dreams and visions together, all right? There is a God dream vision, and then there's a personal dream vision. My wife and I, we have personal dreams and visions, all right? Those are just normal, everyday type of stuff. Like, we're not going to own any more cats. That's a dream and a vision of mine that I have forced upon her. We have all of these normal, simple type of human dreams and visions. That's healthy. There's nothing wrong with that. But it cannot supersede the dream and the vision that God's placed on you. Some of you in this room, if I start talking, and I will here in a second, of different types of dreams, you can't sit here and think, man, I knew I should have been an NFL football player. I knew it. And it's like, hold on, time out there, you know. I was going to say something else, but never mind. You just stop it, all right? For you that want to have this notion that you should have been this or you should have done that, all you're doing is hindering your own future now, okay? You're hindering it. Move past it, okay? Those old school glory days, all right? Move past that, all right? Because then you get into resentment and offense and guilt and shame. Drop those things, all right? What I want to discuss this morning that's important is the God-given dreams and visions that he has for you. That some of you in this room, you think, I'm not called to the ministry. We've got a real, really awful picture of ministry in the sense that everyone should either be Stephen or myself. All right. Or some of you are like children's pastors or youth pastors, or you have this notion that that's ministry. I'm here to tell you that it is way bigger than us. Way, way, way bigger. I am a small pawn on the chessboard of the kingdom of God here on this earth. We, all united together, are the body of Christ, and we have to work together. No one part is better than the other. This is important that you put a real heavy weight in who you are in Christ Jesus, that you establish yourself and go, Lord, what do you have? What is your will? This is so important because I'm going to discuss five different dreams this morning. And I want to know where you are. I don't actually want to know that. I want you to discover where you are, and I'm going to give you a way out of those dreams, all right? So here's the first dream. You have no dreams. That's the first one, no dreams. Here's what's sad about this, and what's hard. You've never experienced the God dream for your life because you've taken on what the world told you. You recognize, I got to graduate high school. I got to get a higher education, whether it be some type of a vo-tech, what it happens to be, you know, some type of a MD, PhD, or BA, or whatever it is. You have all of this notion, I've got to get all this education. And then I got to get married. And then I have 2.5 kids, and 2 dogs, and a cat, and a guinea pig, and a hamster, and a fish, and all. And you put this worldly perspective of what it looks like, the picture-perfect individual, and then you've placed that before you as a dream. What's happened is you've not established who you are in Christ and said, God, what do you have for me? Now, in that moment, God may still have a wife and children and a job, obviously. He's going to lay those things out before you, but it's going to be in His way. So it's important that some of you right now, you may need to stop and say, all right, Lord, where am I at with you? What do I need to do? How do I decrease so you can increase? Your focus has been so self-desire that you haven't recognized His desires. You need to have that revelation that your talent can be used for eternal purposes, that there it goes further than you. Because God's doing something, and we don't have time to sit on our hands. In Proverbs 29:18, it says, where there is no vision, the people perish. This has been established right now. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Now, what we are given is this beautiful promise in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 3. It says, commit to the Lord whatever you do, and He will establish your plans. So in faith, if you're in the no dream mode right now, you need to establish your ways in Him and trust that He will establish that plan for you. That you take that break and you say, I'm not moving until I hear from Him. Retaining and understanding that vision, writing it down, and then acting upon it. And when you act upon it, again, your faith increases to want to see the glory of God, to see the manifestations of God, to dream so big that it's destined to fail without divine intervention. That's what it's all about. So I would encourage you, if you're in the no dream, then it's time to begin to dream by committing to the Lord. Some of you, maybe you have a dead dream. You've experienced failure and disappointment. Life got in the way. You had a dream, but somehow, some way, you've placed an idol before you, some other desire, something you've needed or wanted, not really needed, but wanted. And so times became hard. And then you had this notion, a bad experience that you placed upon God. It's a misplaced anger and resentment towards Him as if He caused this. So therefore, you have dead dreams. Can I really be honest and candid? And I hope I can this morning, but maybe, just maybe, your faith was tested and you failed to trust in Him. That's hard for some of us to acknowledge. It's hard for us to say, you know what? My faith was tested and I didn't stick it out. I was disobedient when God told me to do this. Instead, I ignored it because that was going to be too hard or uncomfortable. I didn't want to move. I didn't want to quit this job. I didn't want to find this new job. I didn't want to do this in the ministry. God is doing something, and He's looking for those who are willing to be obedient. 110%. So, what do you need to do? Well, you should pray for God to resurrect your dead dream. It reminds me of a great story found in Genesis 22, where Abraham, the promise given to Abraham that he was going to have this multitude of generations, and he takes his son, the testing of taking his son to the altar. He was going to kill his promise. He was being tested in his faithfulness, and he laid his son on the altar to die Think about this. This was very extreme. But he laid his son on the altar, knowing that God told him to do this. And in faith, he stepped back to allow God to do what was necessary. And in this moment, you'll see that the promises is that the promise fulfilled is that we being obedient is putting all at the altar, every aspect of our life, constantly before God to say, God, I place my life before you. It's I that must decrease and you must increase. And in doing so, your job is to keep believing and God's job is to resurrect. When you take your dead dream that you have, you lay it on the altar before God. It was Isaac was already dead in Abraham's mind. In taking him up that mountain, he recognized, my son's about to die today because I'm going to be obedient to what God told me to do. Laying that dead son, who was still alive, but knowing what he was supposed to do, lays his son on that altar and he says, God, you do what you need to do. I'm obedient to your will and purpose. He laid down that in the faithfulness that God would take care. And guess what? God did. And so he resurrected his son, even though we know the story, but I'm talking in a metaphorical sense of our dreams that you have been holding on to. You think they're dead, but I guarantee you when you lay them on the altar of God, God can resurrect that dream back to full restoration so that you can begin to walk in that dream. My encouragement is you don't sit on your hands because we don't have time to sit there. We do not. Whatsoever. We know that for some of you in this room, you're so defeated by the dead dream that you've caused other aspects of your life to be dead as well. You guys ever put a piece of fruit in a bowl with dead fruit? Everyone knows that it will cause that ripe fruit to actually increase the speed of death even faster. So if you're that dead piece of fruit in your house, you are causing everyone else around you to feel the repercussions of your dead dream. You need to breathe life into your family. You need to stop being stubborn, all right? Guys, I'm here to tell you, my wife and I, we meet with a lot of married families, married couples. And when we meet with them, there's two syndromes that we find very often, okay? We find the lazy syndrome in the man, and we find the mean syndrome in the wife. Something happens when you get married. Men become lazy and women become a little mean. I don't know why. Stop looking at your spouses right now. Every one of you. Stop it. But it's true. It's sad. Now, don't get me wrong. Both can intersect. I've seen mean husbands and I've seen lazy wives. I've seen it happen. But you've got to start breathing life into your marriage. You got to start breathing life into your family, into what you're doing. Instead of walking around with everything's just dead, you need to allow God to resurrect your marriage, resurrect your family, resurrect your workplace, resurrect everywhere you step. Every step, you claim it in the name of Jesus. Lord, everywhere I walk, Lord, this is your land. Everywhere I go, this is your house. Everywhere I go. This points us right back to what Jacob said. He acknowledged, oh my goodness, by the right here at this place in Bethel. This is really important, by the way. Take notes and pay attention. He said, right there in the place of Bethel, he saw a stairway. Guess what? Where does Jesus live, all the little ones? My Lord. Come on, Pastor Christian, what are we? And you've been teaching them this, right? In their heart, right? Everybody, guys, Jesus lives in your heart. Okay, parents, help us out. Let's teach our children. You can't rely on our children's church just on Sunday. Where does Jesus live? That's better. Guess what that means? That means I take that stairway everywhere I go. That stairway to heaven goes everywhere I go. So his blessings, his provision, everywhere I step, I claim this is God's land, God's territory. I am blessed and highly favored. I will not be the tail. I am the head. I'm blessed going in, blessed going out. I know the promises that have been laid before me. Deuteronomy chapter 28, you guys should know your promises. You should know your blessings. So you should not be defeated in any way, shape, or form. So let's resurrect our dead dreams, all right? Next dream, our forgotten dreams. Now, some of you are like, that sounds similar to dead dreams. Possibly, but just pay attention to the switch of it. For forgotten dreams, you've allowed the cares of this world to rob you of your passion and heart's desire. You may have been actually distracted by uncertainty. That's a little different. See, with dead dreams, you got focused on something else, and then it got so far behind, you just can't think about how you're going to do that when you're doing this. So it's dead. However, with forgotten dreams, you've allowed uncertainty to put a block, a dam of sorts in the flow of what's possible. And you've just sit there and gone, I've kind of just forgotten about it. The uncertainty was too hard for me to overcome. I'm going to tell you, in Luke chapter 19, verse 10, it says, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. He came to seek and to save the lost. Some of you are like, well, Josh, that just has to deal with me as a Christian and those that are sinners. No. Let me read it again. This, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. I claim that to be everything that is lost that he wants to reclaim for him. So anything that pertains to his dreams and his visions that are lost, he wants to remind you of that. He's finding those things. He's explaining those things. He's laying those out before you for you to seize. So this is important that we understand that he came to seek and save the lost. Everything he wants to reclaim and replenish this earth. We know this to be true because we're going to talk about it in Revelation in a few weeks. But this is important to recognize that God wants all that you're doing to be glorifying him. He's going to make sure that you're not lost, that it's not lost, that every provision is met. The uncertainty is certainty. God wants to bring this into full fruition so that you can be a child of God and that he gets the glory through the entire process. So in those moments of forgottenness, understand that God's going to remind you, he's going to restore it, and he's going to make sure that you have not lost your faith in Jesus Christ. All right, stale dreams. You've hit a roadblock of mundane, that stale dream. The work became too hard. And oh man, we've been there all too often. You want to give up, but maybe it's just that you've given up for a season because it was just too hard. It was a lot of work. It was go, 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 go. You guys, I'm all about rest. Hey, didn't we hear that we should have a rest? God told us to have a rest. You've neglected the rest. Maybe you need to account for how many days you've worked and you need to recognize, hold on, time out. One out of those 7 days or out of those 6 days, I need to take a rest. Maybe you need to take a week off. Maybe you need to take a month off. Some of you are like, tell me 3 years off. I wish I could right now. That would be amazing, right? But you need to reaccount for the days that you need to have rest, all right? Because we cannot afford to live in a mundane and sadly, this work too hard mentality without some rest. I guarantee you, Noah got rest, all right? I guarantee you, he had fun building that boat. How do I know that? Because I'm a man. I know how we work. Nothing's changed. We're all the same, people. Culturally, some things are different, but for real, I guarantee you Noah rested. I guarantee you that he kicked it back and just rested. So some of you in this room, it's okay that you found yourself in a moment of stale, but now let's rejuvenate ourselves. Take the proper rest. Take the proper nourishment and begin to take in what God has for you and then revive that stale dream to where God wants you to be, all right? Now, it says in Romans chapter 12, verse 12, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Guys, it's important that we embrace patience. We embrace patience. I love what the author Bob Goff says. He says, some of the most beautiful chapters of our lives won't have a title until much later. We always try to put a title on so many things. This is the season of this. I'm here to tell you guys, you're not going to know what that title is in this chapter of life that you're in until years to come. And it's okay. It's a good season. You relish in where you are so that you can be successful in where you're going, all right? Now, I have a disclaimer before I get to the next dream because I want to talk about these past four dreams. Now, you may say to me, Josh, this is harsh, but I'm a pastor. I'm supposed to help you. I want to tell you the truth, okay? If I can't do that, then we're not going to get very far, all right? So I'm here to tell you that some of you, you literally have placed yourself before God. Not before God in the sense of prayer, but you've placed yourself in front of Him for your own special needs. And you need to be careful of this. You need to ask yourself, what do I need to do? Well, very simply put, you need to die to self. You need to be reborn. In John chapter 12, verse 24, Jesus gives us this very unique parable. It says, very truly, I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. You're not very successful right now because everything you're putting your hand to is based upon one seed, and that's what you can do. When you die, you place yourself in the hand of God and He multiplies. And when He multiplies, He takes your seed and He scatters it out. And when He scatters it, He's sowing it into firm, beautiful soil. And it's important that we understand the blessings that God has for us is far better than the ones that we are trying to achieve. So it's important with that disclaimer that maybe you just step back and you go, you know what? I need to die to self. I need to let go of all of my desires for that He can succeed. And my last dream for us to discuss this morning is big dreams. Big dreams. This is the good sweet spot that all of us need to be in. We need to have these big dreams of the kingdom of God, not our own selfish ambitions. Again, I'm not talking about you being some CEO or a big business owner. I'm not talking to you about all the achievements that you're trying to achieve. I'm talking about the ministry of God here on this earth. There is an open stairway, and right now there are angels ascending and descending onto this earth and into heaven, and they're carrying a message for God's people to hear. We don't have time to sit down and do nothing. We are not a generation that's sitting on our hands and saying, whatever. No, we're a generation saying, Lord, here I am, send me. With big dreams, nothing can get in your way. You know the mandate that's been placed on you that nothing is too big for God, nothing. God is looking for people with grit, competency, character, chemistry, capacity. He's looking for individuals that are willing to do anything that He lays out before them. Now, for some of you in this room, you may not possess these at this very moment. Maybe you have a little bit of grit, maybe just a little bit of character, a little bit of competency, character, chemistry, capacity, maybe just a little. This is where you say, Lord, increase. Lord, grow me. From glory to glory to glory. God, show me what I need to do. In this moment, it's just a matter of time. It's a matter of patience. It's a matter of saying, Lord, thank you that as I am clay in the potter's hands, I'm so thankful that I learned this lesson a long time ago. In those uncomfortable molding moments, I stopped telling God, stop. Early in my days, in those uncomfortable uncertainty moments when I felt the pressure of this molding, the pruning that Jesus explains, I used to yell out, God, stop, I don't want this anymore. And finally, I received the revelation and the teaching that I can't tell God to stop. because I can't tell God that I want all the blessings, that I want to live in His purpose, and then also on the other side say, God, stop. That doesn't make much sense, because He's saying, but I've got big things. I want to do big things. And as I'm molding you, I'm not making you into just a small little vessel. I'm molding you into a large vessel. I want to see a large capacity. Everyone in this room, His intent is to not have you be an instrument for everyday use. He wants to see you be an instrument for noble purpose. He wants to shape you and mold you and grow. He wants to put you into the particular formation that He has had out for you since the very beginning. But if you're yelling at Him, telling Him, stop, that's uncomfortable, I don't like this, I don't want to go over there, then you're putting a stop on the flow of heaven upon your life. And that is not a good place to be. In 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9, it says, for the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to Him. Let me read that again. For the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to Him. Maybe you've experienced those first four dreams, and maybe you're in those right now. God's saying, hey, when you commit your life to Me, I'm going to strengthen you. I will find you. I will be with you. I'm going to resurrect those dreams. I'm going to give you certainty for the uncertainty. I'm going to remind you of the dream that I placed before you years ago. I'm going to do all of those things for you. Because as the pastor of Trailhead Church, I declare it, that in this house, we do meaningful things as the body of Christ. We do things of purpose. We do meaningful, large, big dream things. That we are literally the church in the community. That we're actually making a difference in people's lives because we are obedient and true to what God has laid out before us. That we're not telling God to stop, or that we give up because of uncertainty, but that we place ourselves before God and say, Lord, here I am, and I'm ready for the eternal impact that You have for Graham, for Alamance County, for North Carolina, that, Lord, that we're here to reach people from the mountains to the sea. And, Lord, we're not going to sit back and wean from all of the stress and the cares of this world. But Lord, we lay those at Your feet and we stand boldly before You at the throne and we say, Lord, give me more. God, I'm ready. Lord, I want to grow. I want to be a blessing to everyone I come in contact with. I want to be a vessel, a reflection of Your good glory that You have shown me time and time again. Lord, I want to come off the mountain radiant as Moses did. I want people to see the radiance. Man, I loved, when I was in high school, I made that declaration that I was going to be a pastor, and I told everybody, I said, you know, I'm not going to do these things. I'm not going to do this, 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 and this. And a lot of times I'd show up to parties in high school, and they'd go, what are you doing here? And I go, well, I don't know. I just came here because all you guys were here. And they'd go, yeah, but this, this, and this are here. I had my friends that were in the world. They were actually protecting me. They were like, no, you got to get out of here. There's bad things. And I looked at them, and I was like, Why are you here? I don't know either. And then I remember going to parties and I would show up in places I shouldn't be. I just was going out there again because I was like, oh, everyone's going to be there. Okay, I'll show up. And people would go, why are you here? You make it bad. I make what bad? I don't know. You just make things bad. I feel bad. I go, oh, I love it. This is great. Everywhere I go, Jesus went with me. Everywhere I went, Jesus showed up. The radiance of God's glory. When I'd come in that place, people would be like, why are you here? Go away. No. Oh, let's change this atmosphere. The world tries to tell us to leave. No, we stay. We be an example. Man, I tell you what. This is important. Some of you in this room, you need to dream again. I want us all to stand to our feet. Right now, maybe some of you are in the big dream stage. Man, praise God. Keep dreaming. But if you found yourself in the other four, then right now, we're going to praise the Lord again. We're going to worship just for a few moments. And as we're worshiping this morning, I want you to renew your dreams. I want you, if they've been forgotten, ask God to remind you. If they're stale, then ask God to bring them alive. If they're dead, ask God to resurrect them. Make this happen this morning. You should not be walking around without a dream. So if you have no dream, say, God, give me a dream. I want to have real purpose. So right now, let's worship Him and let's begin to dream again.